Yes. Man, I'm so pumped.
I'm so happy to be here.
Chris Dugler, Bodley.
Dahlgar.
Dahlgar. Oh, Dahlgar. Yeah, always difficult.
Yeah, to, you know, people always mess that up.
Yeah, but why? Is okay, can you just come back? Yeah, come back. Yeah, to be sure you're beautiful. All right. Yeah, because Dugler. Dahlgar?
Dahlgar, yes.
Dahlgar.
Yeah.
Chris Dahlgar.
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. It's, I say Dugler.
Dugler.
Oh, I put the L after the G.
That's right. A lot of people do that Dugler. Mistake. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. I like correcting.
And why you put... Yeah, you love... I mean, me too. Sebastian Borgo is... He's, Chris D.
D. Dahlgar.
Dahlgar. Why?
Oh, okay. Because I just to separate my artist page, which is Chris Dahlgar. My personal page is Chris D. Dahlgar on Facebook. D is my middle name, Darren.
Darren?
Yeah.
Oh, so Chris Darren... Dahlgar.
Yeah, but I don't say on Facebook. It's just the D.
So where's Dahlgar is from?
Trinidad and Tobago, man. Well, what? Trinidad in the Caribbean.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's right. Trini ruled.
So why are you here?
Oh man, the parents came up here when I was young. I didn't have a choice.
It's not okay, like yeah, I was good. Let's hey, talk mom, about dad. That. Parents, yeah. Are, you remember when?
Yeah, I remember 1990.
1990?
Because...
Are you born?
No, I grew up... I was born and grew up in Trinidad till I was 12.
So you know...
Yeah, I remember. Wow. I remember growing up there, like, hot all
so,
the time.
So like I said, you when you arrive here, you cry.
Yeah.
Did you arrive in winter?
I arrived in September, so
okay,
starting
so you have
to
the
get
time
cold.
To cry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, man. It was fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Am I allowed to cuss?
Yes, man.
It was fucking cold.
Whoa, no BS with SV, Bob.
No BS
you know?
With SV, that's right.
Yes, man. So,
arrived in September, October, more like September, and it was already cold then.
So your parents pissed you so much, so you know what?
Yeah.
I will not be a doctor like
exactly.
You want. I'm going to be a comedian.
Comedian, yeah. I was like, you know what? Fuck you, mom and dad.
Exactly.
Engineer? No.
Engineer, right? Eh? Because a lot of time I talk with people...
Well, especially brown people, you know, like your parents are like doctor,
want,
engineer, lawyer. That's probably the career path.
Yeah. Did you have this problem?
No, I was no good in school. No, I was actually good in school. I was actually good in school, but...
What do you mean no good? No interest or
no interest?
Good?
I know if I wanted to, I could have pursued it.
Exactly.
Because I was good.
Is it because you knew already you're going to be a comedian?
Yeah, I think I knew way back when.
Really?
Yeah, especially watching like...
Nothing tobacco. Like.
No, here because back in Trinidad when at 12
you
don't know anything about comedy. You like there's I didn't even know comedy existed.
Exactly.
That was a profession.
Nobody laughed there.
No, no, they always laugh and the people make jokes. But I didn't know it was going to be a profession
a job,
at 12. Yeah, so only when I came in, I started watching TV. You know, like SNL back in the day.
Really?
With the old cast, with the Chris Rock, Dana Carvey.
You move in Montreal?
Yeah, I moved to Montreal.
So you're a real Montreal guy?
Yeah, I'm a real Montreal.
Wow,
yeah.
Never... Normally, they move to Toronto, Ontario, you know?
No, my dad...
So you saw the referendum?
Yeah, I was
1995?
Yeah.
Too young to vote?
Too young to vote, but oh my God, I was laughing at them in that French high school the day after. Because I went to a French high school.
No way.
And I know they probably...
You speak French?
Ben oui, je parle français.
All right.
Ben oui. Tu le savais, Alice. Ben oui.
Quand est-ce qu'on s'est parlé en français?
Ben, ça fait... Ben, écoute...
Jamais, man.
Est-ce que c'est pour,
same thing with Jessie Lafontaine. She speaks
mais
French.
Oui,
I didn't know.
Her name is Lafontaine.
I know. I start with that. I said,
you
have a French name. And she said, no, I'm French.
Bilal.
So you speak French.
Yeah, Bill 101.
Oh, no, you're right. I know. I know. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember because we did a show in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And you host. But I was surprised you host because I didn't know.
Then
you
I spoke French.
Because I never speak French with you.
Yeah.
Maybe I know
maybe
you speak French,
but
a lot of Anglophones they said I speak French. But when you start to speak with the after one phrase, good luck. You
wouldn't have been funny
like me.
If I spoke
English,
no French.
I speak English.
You
do
speak English.
You should know.
But
that.
You know what? I like the way you speak English, though. It's very flowing. I like how
you
flow. Yeah.
It's you're not
nice.
Sarcastic, eh?
No.
Because flowing, it's like
I am sarcastic. But
exactly.
No.
But you know I'm better now.
Yeah, of course.
Because you will never accept to come in my podcast if I'm not enough good in English to talk with you.
I thought this was a French podcast.
Really? Okay, so you speak French. You went to a school in French.
Yeah.
You have brother and sister?
Yeah, I have one brother and two sisters.
Okay,
they're all younger than me.
So yeah, you're four.
We're four.
I have three sisters. So.
Are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
So
I'm
always want to make the my... I have a crowd.
Yeah.
When we eat... Are you able to talk when you eat?
Yeah, I mean, we always, especially my brother. My brother, I think, like, for some reason, I do comedy, but he's just
he's more funny than me.
Yeah, like, you know, you are, he's the jokester in the family.
Yeah, but
he's the jokester.
But don't be too hard with yourself, because it's to make people laugh on stage. It's an art form.
It's an art.
It's not because your uncle is funny at Christmas. Yeah. Then he's gonna kill on stage. He's gonna bomb your brother.
Does it ever, like, I'm sure you've had it where you've been doing a show and you do really well, or you just had a show and somebody comes up in the crowd, from the crowd after the show, and they just say, "Hey man, like, I'm really funny with my family or my coworkers, I have a friend."
Every time.
Really, and you're like, really? It's not the same thing.
And French, really more not. in French, people are more disrespectful about comedy than in English.
Yeah.
And English, they say, "You're amazing, don't give up."
Yeah.
And French is more like that.
Yeah. And
like, I think I'm funny. Oh, yeah, why? Because at the construction, Bob laughs every time.
Yeah. At the wood shop where I work, I make them laugh. I was like, it's not the same.
No.
Like, see, when the lights hit you and you see all those people
or they start to say, "I have a joke for you," and
it's
a Reader's Digest joke.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a street joke, and say, "Why you get, no, I don't want it, man."
That's all
they think it's like that, you know what I mean? But this I don't have any problem with that anymore. But took me a lot of I did 1 hour corporate in French.
Yeah.
Kill. So after that I squeeze hand, you know.
Yeah,
I said,
you shake hands.
I need a pen, you know. A lady arrived and she said, "Oh my God, you're funny. What is your job in life?" I said, "I just did it."
You just did.
Yeah, but you don't have
your regular day job.
Yes, you know how it's tough to kill 1 hour.
Yeah,
and you think I have another job? I would be a genius. Like,
you know what? I think for that 1 hour,
they don't understand that.
They don't understand for that 1 hour how many hours.
It's 10 hours, 10 years.
No, but to get that 1 hour is also to how many hours of material you have to go through to find that one great hour
of bombing.
Of bombing and, like,
oh, yeah, exactly. Material. Exactly. Yeah.
What do you think the ratio is to get a solid hour? How many hours do you think it takes to get that one solid hour? I wrote
15 minutes, 20 in 6 months.
Right.
So, you know, and a killer. No?
Yeah.
Not a medium, no. So I will, you know, I will say the ratio, maybe 10 hours for 1 hour.
I think so. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say 10 to 1.
Because I don't know, because sometimes we bomb in open mic. So, yeah. But I, and the comparison for the time I'm on stage and the pain.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's not the same time.
It's not the same time, yeah.
You know when you bomb?
Yeah. When you
4 minutes?
Yeah.
It's like 30 minutes, 1 hour. You know what I mean? People remember that.
Yeah.
I remember last week you bombed. It's, yes, fuck yes. You. I remember. But.
And then people come up to me and say, "Yeah, you did better today."
Maybe,
last time you bombed, I was like, "Why do you have to remind
every time me?" If you bomb, I said, "Good, bravo."
Yeah, really?
Man, wait.
You still say bravo to other comics?
He tried. This is the respect, you know.
Yeah.
If he said, "Did you like it?" I said, "No, you bombed."
Yeah.
But you did it.
Yeah.
The respect. That's you know what I mean? I will. You don't need to say to someone, "No, already he bombed." You bomb.
I think they know.
You know when you bomb.
Yeah, I
so
know.
So if after the show you go out, I will never say, "Hey, you kill," but I will say, "Bravo."
Yeah.
Because you need that. You need your the real people who works with you know.
Yeah.
The real. This, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the ego, it's you know, when somebody bomb, everybody say, Me, I don't do that. Me, I feel, bravo, man.
I love watching people bomb.
Me too, I love. And I love the way they respond after.
It's so...
Because this is how you get good and how you come a comedian.
It's like it's watching, you know, a train crash. It's like beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't like bombing, but you can learn so much from bombing, you know?
It's how you upgrade your skill.
Yeah, and also, I personally have, like, a defense mechanism when I'm bombing.
Oh,
I know I'm my defense mechanism.
You dance.
No, not even. I do crowd work. I go straight to the crowd because I'm filled with the crowd. And I have to, like, get away from that.
And you sit.
And I sit.
Do you sit?
I sit on the stool sometimes.
So if
there's a stool, I kind of sit.
If you sit, is it I should know you bomb?
No, here's the thing. Even when I'm doing really good, I sit just to let them know that I'm comfortable, because I am comfortable when I'm on stage.
Okay.
But when I sit and I'm doing really well, it's just to let them know I'm like, I'm in control.
Okay.
But sometimes when I'm bombing, I do talk to the crowd. I don't know if you...
I don't do...
What do you do?
If I bomb... it depends. If it's an open mic, I don't care.
Right.
If it's a corporate, I don't care too.
You really don't care?
Well, no, because...
Is it just because you take the money and you run?
It's because no matter if you try to kill in a, you're gonna suffer yourself.
Right.
When you bomb, I don't say I'm gonna give up.
Right.
Okay. If I'm a comedy club and I feel I bomb, I'm gonna fight.
Right.
But if I'm a corporate and I bomb, you can do nothing.
No.
Because you don't bomb because you suck. You bomb because of the rest.
The rest.
People don't listen. The food just arrived. You know what I mean? You know, all the shit. You know, you take the money, like you said, and run. If I bomb and an open mic, I don't care. See, it's the goal.
That's the goal, yeah. You're working on material.
Yes, and it's not funny. So tomorrow or the day or the show after, I'm going to try why I bomb. You know, but in general, I don't bomb anymore because I'm not funny.
Right.
So if I bomb, yeah. I'm going to switch in my killer joke right away. But I will. I'm not enough good to go to the crowd because it's dangerous too to go to the crowd.
Well, I know it's dangerous, but like for me, it's like a still defense. So I'm trying to get away from that.
Yeah.
And I know, like when you try on new material, you probably want to sandwich it in between like a solid joke to start with. Then the new material.
Yeah.
And then like end off with like a solid joke that works for you. So at least, you know, they remember the first and last joke. Like,
yeah.
And then you can do your new material in between. So like.
Yeah. And you can bomb and kill at the same time. You know that. Because you don't feel well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So sometimes you ever like they're laughing and you're like, I'm still not having a good time.
I feel as if
it could be better.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I mean, people said you kill. I said no, and people think I'm pretentious. Yeah. Like I said, no, I kill. I know I kill, but I did not have fun.
Right, I've had those too.
I've had those rarely. You know.
Yeah, I remember being on stage, and it happens
quite off.
A few times. And you feel like you're off, but you're still making them laugh. You're still not killing, but you're still making them laugh.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I'm still having a good time.
You drank before to go on stage?
No, I used to a lot.
Okay, because you were shy?
No, shy. The nerves.
The nerves,
when
okay.
I first started, like, drinking. And I even, like, smoked weed, too.
You smoked weed before?
Before, yeah.
Wow.
I used to do that. Now I can't do it anymore. Maybe it's age, experience.
It's legal.
I know, but I still, like, I used to smoke, but it just got me to another level.
I didn't know, by the way,
level.
Wow, you smoked weed?
Yeah.
And I saw you a lot. I never saw you smoke weed before.
No, well, I mean...
It's not
this
in your face.
Way you, before. Okay. This is way before.
Oh,
okay, when you started doing comedy.
Let's talk about that. How long you do comedy?
Oh, man, it's been 14, 15
okay.
years.
Did you quit between that?
Smoking weed, yeah.
No, comedy.
Yeah, I've quit.
So I want to know. I don't want to know that because people, the quit, give up, come back, quit, give up, come back. No, I want to know when you decide to jump full time forever.
When I decided to jump full-time, I think it came out of the need to do it, kind of a...
Yeah, what year?
I think this was 2010, 11.
So yeah. 8 years full-time.
Yeah. Well, not full-time. I still work and I still have a job in between because you need to pay the bills and you know.
I know, but in your head.
Oh, in my head, 2010, 2011.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like...
In your head, and you mentally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you a comedian?
Yeah, of course.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But not before.
Not before, like.
So, you know, like.
You never feel as if
exactly.
you're like an actual comedian. I think it takes. It comes with experience.
Yeah.
I think.
Failure, a lot.
A lot of failure, a lot of experience. And there's a point where I don't know if it. Like, there's. I always equate comedy to, like. Like a bank vault, like different vaults opening up, like, you know, you figure this out and it just opens, but then there's another vault inside and then you have to figure that out and it comes with that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like different levels of like...
Oh, then it's a thousand levels.
You always have to figure out something about
exactly.
yourself. And you're just like, oh, you, and it's like you're knocking your head against it and you're like, I can't figure it out. Then one day, bam, it opens up and you're like, oh, shit, I know how to do this now.
Yeah.
Then another level comes and you're like, oh, shit, I can't figure this out. Then
what level are you?
Time, And you know what? No, comedy is an exploration into yourself, right? So you never stop learning. So my level where I am is probably different than where
you are. No, man, let's say are you a level of killer middle, of killer headliner?
No, not killer headliner yet, but like I can headline. Not
so you
killer,
can say like yeah. What? Like a good headliner?
Yeah, a really good headliner.
Oh, yes, sir. What did you order, buddy?
I think I got a cafe latte.
Whoa. I'm jealous, man.
What'd you get?
Espresso.
How many merci, have you had? Hein? Thank you.
This
merci.
Is the Peyronie restaurant here.
Yes.
You know that because you're here.
I'm
and
here.
And they have the best comedy night at the Peyronie.
At the Peyronie right there.
Shout out to Sid.
Shout out
and
to Sid.
And Ali.
And the staff
the
here
staff,
at Peyronie.
Yes. So Tony, yeah. the owner, who gave us all the time.
The opportunity.
Amazing coffee.
Sid is amazing too, by
yes.
the way.
Yes.
He gives everyone a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
More than we are lucky because the industry of comedy is dead in Montreal. You know what I mean?
I think it's like
because the Yuck Yuck try twice and they close. The comedy works burn.
Yeah.
And they have only the Nest now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the and people think Montreal is just for laughs. You know, this is why I bring the beautiful Le Victor.
No, we have so much talented
people
here, local talented comics that you need to go out and explore. And I'm not even talking the English side too, right? The French side as well. We have
But French side have a lot of podcasts about that.
Yeah, they do.
It's why I started the podcast because everybody said, why you start a podcast about comedy? I said, because nobody know our funny comedian in English in Montreal.
In English. We have a ton of like funny English comics.
Exactly my point, you know? That's why I do that. I want to show to the people that we exist.
We do.
We exist. And
in obscurity, but we do sometimes.
No, exactly. But anyway, what is the point to go to New York and when you have an opportunity in Montreal? Because people say, go to New York, go to LA. I did it. I travel a lot.
Yeah.
And it's saturated everywhere.
It is saturated.
And in a kind of business, now it's saturated.
Did you feel like you were, like New York, LA, you were battling uphill all the time?
What do you mean?
Just trying to mount that climb and you were never getting anywhere kind of a thing?
It's like everywhere. It's like, do you want to do 2 shows a week in New York or 10 shows a week in Montreal?
And 2 shows a week in New York, but you can do
no, because you have to restart everywhere. Everywhere you go, because you know what? Listen, people say go to Toronto.
Yeah.
You're gonna do 4 shows a night. It's not true. To do that,
you have to get your name out.
You have to prove yourself.
Yeah.
You have to go shake hands. You know, everywhere you go, you don't have immediately 4 shows a night.
No, of course.
You have to restart everywhere at zero. And when you restart in New York, more people than in Montreal.
Yeah.
So,
there's a lot of
here, I can work 10 shows a week easy like that. There, I have to restart. I have to
do everything. Yeah.
I have to restart at zero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For what? For stage time. And you have to pay in New York. I pay $5 to have a spot.
To get a spot.
Yes. Now they have to pay in New York because so many places, so many comics want to do a
show.
So I said, I'm going to focus here in my town, promote my town, my comedian, and wait. Maybe another club is going to arrive someday. You know what I mean?
Fully. Yeah.
Because
I think we're missing another... Honestly, like another English comedy club in the city. Just to have like a different look, a different vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
And the one we have here, they're doing an amazing job. Never disparage them or anything. It's like they've kept it going for years and years. And, you know, good on the owners there.
I don't know.
Very nice place.
Okay.
But I think we're just missing another club. So
I miss another club.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But you play often at the Nest?
No, not that often.
Why?
Not that often.
By choice?
But not by choice.
They don't like you?
It's not... you know what? I don't even know. I've never... I think I get along fine with the owner and I've reached out to him and he's given me spots. It's just like recently this year, I don't know if you've noticed, but like I've taken like not a sabbatical, but a bit of a mental break from comedy just to write new material and to just get new jokes and new material. So I took a step back. Just to focus on other aspects of life,
Like wedding?
Like wedding, I got married this year.
Take a lot of energy.
Yeah, it does.
A big decision.
Big decision.
And your and family, it's a culture, right?
It's a culture. It's a cultural
Did you marry her with a French-Canadian?
No, she's French, but not French-Canadian. She's from France.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So you're in love for real, huh?
Oh, well, I'm married, so I hope so.
No, but sometimes you do that because you want it.
You think I tricked her? Yeah, baby, let's just get married.
Yeah, maybe. So
I love her. I love her. And she's always been supportive of my comedy.
Yeah. And this is very important, huh?
Since the beginning. And you know how I think I've lost two or three relationships to, you know, when you start off a fresh relationship and you tell them you do comedy, but because as a comedian, you always have to, no matter if you're female comic, male comic, who you're dating, guy, girl, if you're a comic, I think it's really important that you have to tell them. And he or she knows from the very beginning where
Kraft dinner,
where it stands, where you stand.
Do you love Kraft dinner, honey?
And like, you know what? You know those times where you
have peanut butter.
Yeah, you know those times maybe where you're free at night after you finish work and you want to go out and do this. Well, that's my time to, you know, be on stage.
And they don't respect that, man. I lost a lot of girls because they said it's free. You got to play for free.
It's not that they don't. At the beginning, because they want to, you know, not that they want to please, they want to make you happy, and they don't know what the life is about because they think they're jumping in and this is something exciting for them, and it's like, oh my god, I'm in the comedy club all the time. And after a while, for them, it gets tiring because they know
Nothing's gonna happen.
It's not like necessarily nothing's gonna happen. It's like nothing's gonna happen for them. I was like,
for them? What do you mean for them?
Some of them might think it's a phase for you. It's like, okay, I'll follow him in this phase.
Oh, wow, what a weird relationship you got.
Not with my wife.
Me, all my ex-girlfriend never believe. They encourage me.
All of them believe.
How you can believe a guy who never bring money back?
Well, that's the thing.
You know what I mean?
All of them, they believed me and they were really supportive to a point. And after a point came and they were like, oh, well, I guess he's really, really serious. And like, I have to take, like, I have to be second to comedy. Okay, you know, because you have to, like, that's how it is. Like, a lot of times, the other person in your relationship, most of the time, like, they're second. They come second to comedy. And I think when you first start a relationship, they don't believe you. Like, they have to see it for themselves and experience it for themselves. And a lot of them, they can't be second to comedy.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we'll have to end this relationship. And you're like...
Yeah, but second, like what? Because if you make compromise, I will understand, but...
But here's the thing. When you're young... When I was a young comic, for me, comedy always came first.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming the girls I broke up with. In my mind, comedy always came first. And I don't regret it. Because if I didn't do that, I would not have... Everything happens for a reason, I think. So I wouldn't have met my beautiful wife. I wouldn't be with her now. But then...
But you don't make the same mistake now.
I don't, because...
Comedy is still first, but... Yeah. But you don't compromise your relationship with her too. You know what
comedy,
I mean?
Comedy and her, I learned, they've learned, like they have her and comedy, a very beautiful friend relationship just because she's always been so supportive. Every show, she never got to, you know, some of them, they
did come I meet
to
her?
Show. Yeah, Elodie, like you've met her. Maybe you've met her at the works a couple times.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you've met her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's always been supportive. Even when I was doing comedy full time, we were relying on my comedy salary and her salary from her regular day job, and she never once said, hey, you need to, you know, make more money, this and that. She was always very, very, and still is very supportive, amazingly supportive. I couldn't have asked for someone better. But I don't know if your girl is probably as supportive as...
Me, I was bartender, make a ton of money, and the day after I was, I switched comedian. Yeah. And I meet her at the same, and I said, you're gonna pass at the steak to Kraft dinner, you know what I mean? It's true.
It is true.
And she said, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm still with her after 12 years.
Well, that's the thing.
And, you know, and now...
Because as long as you see their support, but at the same time...
Their support, but I prove that I can make money. You know, if I was poor, I would... She would leave me, and I would say, you're right. But, and comedy was first, but she always was first too.
Yes.
So
always,
you know what I mean?
Always,
because every time I made a decision in my career, I asked her.
Her, yeah.
Like example, okay? because it's easy to
see that was
that
my
force people, but
no, but that was my mistake because I was young and stupid and I was like I made a decision and I didn't really necessarily consult them and I made it for myself and I was kind of selfish.
Yeah,
but when I met her, my priorities had changed. Or maybe you just become more mature.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, maybe I'll consult and my
it's,
wife.
It's
and
not
my girl at
exactly.
The time.
It's include.
You have
it's
to
like
include
a,
them.
It's
yeah.
like a, okay, I'm gonna lose this arm. No, yeah. it's my arm. I need yeah. my arm. It's like my girlfriend. Yeah. You know, it's like your wife. So I said, I need to move to Toronto because yeah. my dream was to headline in all the comedy club in California, mm-hmm. and I did it. I did it last.
2 years ago was
no
it?
No right last year? I just came back yeah okay. It's November December last right. year so 8 months ago but took me 7 years
right
to learn English restart at yeah. zero and I moved to I said I would like to move to Toronto. Nobody wants to move to Toronto. No, you know not, I have every she have her friend family yeah, yeah but and I said you know what we're gonna do before to move to Toronto, we're gonna go there. So we rent an Airbnb.
And just to check out the city.
If
and
she like it, yeah. Because I want her happy
yeah.
in my dream.
Yeah.
And the reason why everything works is because the goal at the end was a dream for her too. Right. 6 months in LA.
Ah, okay.
This is my ultimate goal, yeah. you know? And she said, I love this dream.
Yeah.
So let's do it together. And I have two dogs.
So you guys brought the dogs down there?
Yeah, yeah. It was not a possibility to leave my dog, give my dog.
No, no, no.
It's
no.
The family, part of the family or nothing.
Yeah, it's
you know
part
what
of
I mean?
The family.
So
yeah.
when you start to do that, the road change.
Yeah.
Because now we focus on Airbnb or a condo in Toronto yeah. with dogs. And so we went there and she said, I love Toronto. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So she moved with me 2 years.
And that's
and
a sacrifice,
I,
you know?
Yeah, and me too, it's a sacrifice too, but her, bigger,
but,
because
well, yeah,
the goal, it's my goal.
Exactly, it's your dream, right?
You know, so she loved me a lot, dream, you know, and
course.
You know,
yeah.
I don't want to be discriminate, but lady girls need more guarantee than us in general.
Yeah, I think so,
like
more security.
More security, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Move all the time.
Yeah.
You know, sell
so especially this lifestyle
for a job.
A lot, yeah.
No, you know, like it's in my head.
Yeah,
you know, what I mean?
Yeah,
it's on our head.
Yeah, it's that's what it is. You have.
We're gonna talk about what yeah. is in your head.
Yeah,
where you want to go with that?
Yeah.
Know? But my point is, I did not make a choice about her or my career. We did it together.
Yeah.
And now we are back. I realized my dream. Now we focus more on her.
Well, yeah.
Because she needs our soul,
yeah.
our lifestyle. So now everything she wanted, I'm here for her all the
well,
time, you know?
That's beautiful because she was always there for you.
Exactly.
And that's what I realized about with my wife, too. Like, she was so supportive and everything. So everything we do, everything I do now, she's always at the forefront where it's like I make a decision. Even if comedy is like, how is this going to affect my relationship with my wife? What's this going to do? That's maturity, and I'm happy. I'm happy to be in this phase of my life where
yes.
I have someone who I can support and who can count on me, and I can count on. And
yes.
I love it. I love this phase of my life, like career-wise, comedy, that she's in my corner. She's
exactly.
always in my corner, and I was
exactly.
like, and I go up there with the confidence, knowing like, even if I bomb, even if like everybody hates me, I can always come home.
Exactly.
Somebody's gonna love me.
She's not there for the fakeness of
no,
the comedy
no.
industry.
And she doesn't
so
care
this,
if
this,
I make it or not.
This is your yin and yang, you know,
yeah.
because it's so easy to get lost in this business. You
it's
know?
So easy. Yeah.
So when you kill, and she said, "Yeah, I don't care," he said,
yeah.
"Tam, nam,
yeah.
Me, I did a TV show, my first TV show. She saw me, and she was not impressed. You know why?
Why?
Because she saw all the pain I did to get the TV show. So at the end, everybody said to her, "Are you happy?" And, you know, and after the show, it's the
yeah.
big party, buffet, champagne. You know,
yeah.
and she was like, "No." Because we work to get that.
Yeah.
You know, some people arrive, you know, when you're hot, but
yeah.
they don't realize all the job, you know what I mean?
What it takes.
And your wife know that.
She knows.
She knows where you're from.
She's been there through the trenches with me and like
exactly.
all, everywhere. Yeah.
And you don't want to lose that.
No, I never want to lose
your,
that. She knows what it's like and she knows the life too. Now she knows
yeah.
how it is.
So are you better in comedy now? Because now you know you have somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to justify your...
I don't have to justify it, and I'm a lot better because it comes with, like, I guess maturity and age and being just more confident in yourself. I think confidence is a big thing, and I know how to write a joke.
Okay.
And I know how to, like, even if it's a new joke, I know I have the experience now to make it funny, even if it's new. Before, I was just like, when you're really young and you're a new comic, you're just going in blind and trying to, like, it's like your eyes are closed and you're just trying to see what hits. Now I know I have the experiences. Okay, I'll work a joke this way. I'll tie it into this, and you know, it's on a different level when you
now you know your force.
Where I know where my strengths and weaknesses.
You know what you want to talk about. Yeah. You know who you are now. More on stage.
You know who you are now, and that's the biggest thing, I think.
Yeah.
You have to know who you are more, because I think when everyone first starts, no matter who the comic is,
they try to copy. It's
like,
normal,
huh? And it's normal because you're looking up to people and
you respect
or you idolize, or you're like, oh my God, I love this comic, let me see. But it's not necessarily your personality, but you still try to copy, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually, with time and experience, that falls away, and the person who comes out is you.
Who did you copy?
I did Chappelle. And I love Bill Burr, and especially Patrice O'Neill, God rest his soul.
Yes, shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Patrice, man. He's the, like, for me, he was
was rock.
Top five for me, Patrice. I loved him.
And this is an art form, eh?
Yeah.
People don't realize that, because if I show to the people who you are 10 years ago on stage and now, now you're more you than... In life, you're still not you, maybe?
Exactly. It's not, I think, what do you
Patrice
think?
Patrice was on stage, was him.
And that's what I'm like, Chappelle is him, Rock is him. But, like, I know, I feel as if, like, when you're on stage, no matter how much of you there is, you're still, I think, 10 or 15% exaggerating just because it's a show.
Yeah.
But it has to be
For sure. The adrenaline, And the people think you play something, but it's just you.
And that's where I think that's what we all strive to get to, but it takes time to get there,
because it takes years,
you know why? Because you're finding out about yourself on stage in front of people. I don't know what's scarier than that, man. That's just one of the scariest, not to dissuade new comics, right? But it's like...
No, it's why I do that. No, scare them.
It's a scary thing.
Yeah, because exactly my point, okay? You know, the first year, you do that to adrenaline, attention, and heart, you know? But after that, when you realize that, okay, now if I want to do that forever, I need to jump, you know? And when did you realize, like, okay, I can't cheat anymore. I need to jump and realize, like... Because you know why Dave Chappelle is amazing? Because he doesn't care about comedy anymore. He vomit comedy anymore. Yeah. Like, because the this kind of guy, you can talk to them like 5 seconds before he go on stage.
Yeah.
And he will be able to talk to you.
Yeah.
And you will not see his face change when you're gonna go on stage. Because he killed the ego, he killed all the you know.
Yeah,
the stress we got on this is why I wanna. This is my goal now, to be able to be on stage no matter when, where, and no stress anymore.
But you put it exactly perfectly. You put it perfectly. That's where I want to get. Where I go up on stage and there's no stress, no nerves. It's just like you're just free. You're just free. And like when I see Chappelle,
you see him last,
it's amazing. I know you got a lot of criticism.
No, but this is gonna change.
I think it's gonna. I mean,
because people are tired to people who complain about. Listen, if you're not able to take the joke properly, not just take the joke, but watch the reason why you went there.
Context of it,
fuck off, man. Okay, but people take too much energy of this kind of people that. The troll?
Yeah.
Fuck the troll, you know what I mean?
I personally loved it. I loved the special.
And it's amazing.
It's fantastic.
Dan Laxer.
Yeah.
I interviewed Dan Laxer and he cried after.
Really?
Yeah. It's because he said he will never be able to be good like that. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's
like, you know what I mean? Because
amazing.
It's not the joke.
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah.
Like this guy.
He's a genius.
Well, yeah, but you know where he's from, eh? He run about a $50 million contract in Africa. Remember yeah, that yeah. if you saw it's the story because he was too much. He wanted to lose himself like in the Hollywood, and he came. Everybody lie about the reason. Blah blah blah. He came back. Now he doesn't give a
but he has the freedom. That's freedom right there.
Freedom helps too. You're right. Yeah. If you're rich, yeah. you still do comedy.
Of course. Of course, I do more.
You do more.
Yeah, of course, because then if you're rich, you can afford to travel everywhere and do this.
Exactly,
and that.
Exactly.
You're not constrained, right? But he, like someone like that, to have the freedom to say that, and I know he's not. I believe that the minute you do comedy or any artistic form in public eye, you are free to be like criticized. Like people are allowed to criticize. Like. It'll happen, like, and that's their right to criticize you. If they're a critic, they have the right because you're putting out your art form in public.
Yeah.
So they can criticize you.
Yeah.
Right? What I don't get or what I don't understand is the critics, they try to tell me why I shouldn't watch
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, if you didn't like it, that's fine. That's perfectly your right to not like a certain stand-up or to not like a certain artist or comedian. It's your right, and you can criticize that person because they deserve to be criticized just because they're putting out the art form in public.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But don't try to convince me
to
not... Don't try and tell me why I shouldn't be watching it because we have different opinions. We come from different places.
Yeah.
I'll never try and tell you why you should watch it and why you shouldn't like it because you don't like it. Don't try and convince me why I shouldn't like it. Like, I like it.
Yeah. Right?
So and here's the thing with comedy. There's a comic. There's all colors of the rainbows in comics. So if you don't like a certain comic, I'm sure there's another comic that you'll
like.
Exactly
my point. Exactly. It's like arguing for a hockey game.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares about the way you think the guy should give the puck to the other guy? It's the same thing. But people, because of the social media, we live in a new generation now. Like.
It's cancel culture, man. People are trying to cancel culture. And
I think now people don't care anymore about the
I think that
a lot of people
the momentum is shifting.
Shut up, you know.
Yeah, the momentum
before it was
shifting.
Just like
you
complaining
have to be
about something.
Yeah. And like as a comic, there are times on stage where I just go up and I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't do this joke. Who am I going to piss off? And like, who am I going to... But now I realized, I don't care.
Exactly.
If you're offended...
Yeah.
If you're offended, that's your right. You can be offended.
Yeah.
But, like, I should be able to have the right to say whatever I want to say.
Yeah,
I'll suffer the consequences.
And exactly.
I'll suffer the consequences.
Voila. Do you like to do that?
Yeah, I love pushing buttons. I love pushing buttons. And just because...
You remember a joke you made and you regret?
That I regret?
Yeah, yeah. Like you live with the consequences.
No, I've never done.
Do you
a
like
joke
a joke? You know, it's nobody laugh, but they like and you like it. Do you like that?
Yeah, I have. I'm not gonna say what it is, but yeah,
no, you know what
joke.
I mean.
Yeah, yeah, I have.
Do you like to?
I like
shock
yeah.
people.
Yeah, I. You know, sometimes you
so
need some of that.
So where is from?
I don't know. It's just that I think comedy it should be like pushing the boundaries. You have to push the boundaries. You can't play it safe.
No, I know, but me, you're right, but when I write something,
when you write something, do you always think about, how is the audience going to react, or are people going to get pissed off, because...
No, I react about if I think it's funny.
Perfect, that's the way to go about it, because I feel as if sometimes people write jokes now because of...
I think comedy choose us, and not we don't choose comedy, you know what I mean? Your art form, because... Because I every time I saw you, I did not realize that you like to shock.
Yeah, I'd love to shock.
I didn't know.
Because here's the thing, I'm always smiling on stage.
Yeah, yeah,
so
right.
It's just that's that difference, that dichotomy where you see a smiling dude, and then bam, hit them with a joke,
drops
like a bombshell. And then they realize, holy shit.
Because you're charismatic.
Yeah.
Because it's why you can play with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it took me years to realize that.
Because so many things to think.
You have to
when
think
you
about,
go on stage.
Yeah.
People think no, you just talk. No,
yeah,
it's more than that. So let's start. Let's start about who Chris D. Dolgar
is.
Okay, so you have two sister, one brother.
Yeah, all younger than I am.
You arrive at 12 years old.
12 years old here.
And you start to watch comedy.
Yeah.
And start to, when did you realize you want to do that? Because at the time it was impossible to know it's a job, you know?
I know.
Because it was not, it was...
I realized, to be honest, is when, whenever I would, like, I usually wake up late. Like, my parents weren't strict with us going to bed at a certain time. So they let us stay up, they'd let us stay up really late.
When they sleep?
Pardon?
They sleep?
Yeah, my parents.
And you stay up?
I stay up like at night. Like
they don't, okay, so your parents don't sleep?
Yeah, they go sleep and they let us stay up.
Wow, I never heard that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. They're like, yeah.
It was the reverse. Me, I sleep and they stay up.
Really? No, as a kid, even when I had school, my parents wouldn't, they weren't that strict, which is awesome.
And yeah.
So I then I'd watch late night TV, like the talk shows like Letterman and like The Tonight Show. Yeah. And you remember in those shows, usually at the end of the show, they have like a musical guest. But sometimes...
It's a comedian.
It's a comedian. And I was like, holy shit. I remember the I can't remember the first comment, but I was, oh my God, that's a job? Like 5-7 minutes that making people laugh? And I was always funny in school. In French, like I went to French high school, so I always had to... use comedy kind of as a defense mechanism because I was like probably the only brown guy in school, so I used to get picked on a lot.
Really?
It was racist back then, right?
You didn't so you have get like bullying social... a lot?
Not a lot, but
but
like...
your brother?
My
was brother. Not at the same school than you?
No, he was in like a different school.
Okay, so you're alone.
I was kind of, I had my friends.
How did you live that?
It was fine. Like, it wasn't, people think, like, people say, oh my God, this was before social media and like the outrage and everything. And people say, oh my God, you must, no, I didn't get bullied that much, but I made friends quickly.
Okay.
And I was funny. So, and then I started watching.
So you used that to make friends?
Yeah, I used comedy.
And a mechanic, defense mechanic.
Yeah.
Mechanical, like.
It was like a defense mechanism where if you disarm them with comedy and humor, they don't come after you, right?
Exactly.
If you like, if you're the first one to like, hey, okay, you make the first move and like,
yeah.
Go up to the bullies and be like, make a joke or something.
So did you start to do improvisation theater?
No, not even. I remember, I never even did that till I was in CJEP, Okapa. College,
okay.
Like CJEP, but in high school,
nothing.
I remember
lip sync.
No, not even. They used to have comedy shows. Comics come. I remember two of the first comics I saw in French. Obviously, it was a French high school. Was Dominique Martin.
Wow.
Remember back then?
Yeah.
They were big back then.
Yeah. You saw them at school?
At my school. This was like mid-90s, eh? So they performed together, and then they did each a solo set, and I was like. And I was like, that's
another revelation.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another revelation. I was like, shit, you can actually.
But not enough accessible.
It wasn't accessible because back then.
You're 16 years old.
I didn't know anything about the stand up comedy community here and everything. So, but I remember just every night I'd watch Letterman or Leno and just wait to see if perhaps a comic would come on.
Yeah.
And I would be like, that's supposed to be on every comic and start making people laugh. I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is actually a job, and it just blew my mind. I was like, holy shit.
So you went to the college?
I went to college.
Why you went to the college?
CJEP? I went to Dawson.
For your father and mother?
No, I think, yeah, for them too, but like, at that point, I was hooked on art, like any type of art, so I didn't even go into any of the sciences.
Okay.
I went into the social sciences and art, and I took a theater class.
Okay.
And I didn't take any improv, but I started getting like watching more comedy then. And getting
how long
into
did you
it.
Stay in college?
Oh man, I stayed there for I failed my first year or two. I wasn't really a good student. Then I realized, oh shit, what am I doing with my life? And
I want to know where you are when you say that to yourself. What I'm gonna do with your life?
Yeah, and I was like,
you remember
I told
where?
Myself, no, I remember.
Do you work in there somewhere?
No, I wasn't working anywhere. I was just like doing. I was about to get like almost my grades were bad, and I was about to fail. And I was like, oh, "Man, you're better than this." You're like, I was like, if I put my mind to it, I can be a really good student. So I was like, "All right, let me try."
Okay.
So I switched programs. I think I went into business or like was a businessman or international business, and then my grade shot up like because I was putting the effort into it. Like and my grade shot up, and I was still like following comedy though, and I knew.
You never did comedy at the time.
No, I didn't do comedy. Okay. But even Dawson, there would be comics who came in, you know, like one or two every semester, and I
so
would just make it a point. Yeah,
because the way I saw it's you saw comedian at the Tonight Show. But it's too far. It's too big to
Letterman,
think about.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah.
After that, you saw Dominique Martin in your face, but you realize like it's still too far.
Yeah.
But and when did you realize I can do that?
I think when I spoke to a comic, I forget the comic who performed at Dawson, and I was like, I had kind of interest, and I spoke to them and said, hey,
because you went to the Dawson College.
Yeah, and the Dawson College. Yeah, yeah. They used to invite comics.
Yeah, yeah, I did that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you, but. You finish your college there?
Yeah, I finished my college there. And
why? To prove something to someone?
No, not even. Like, I just...
Because you always dream about comedy, and you went to theater...
I didn't do theater. Like, I took a theater class.
What's happened there?
Nothing happened. I wasn't even taking... At that point, when I was taking... Like, I was young.
Yeah.
And you know when you go from high school to CJEP?
Yeah.
You have all this freedom, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have much independence.
You
so
smoke
much,
weed?
No, not that. No, okay. No. And you have so much independence and freedom. And I think, like, I was overwhelmed. Like, I have so much free time. Like, I didn't study. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
So, like...
And theater, it's not
I was
comedy.
Fucking around.
Theater is not comedy.
No. Yeah. Like, it was more serious theater.
Yeah.
They didn't have, like, a stand-up class or anything.
No, it's
like,
not... Yeah.
No, or comedic theater. It was more drama-based.
So, you go, you see a Dawson show. You remember who it was?
I can't remember, to be honest.
Don't remember. Okay. So, what's next? Why you exist in comedy?
I talked to one of the comics... who did the show, and he said, oh, you know, you should go to the Comedy Works.
Okay.
This was in Jimbo owned it back in the day, and I was like, okay. And I kept it in the back of my mind. I didn't go right away because I was scared.
Oh, yes.
And I remember when I first started going to the Comedy Works, I went for months before I even had the courage to ask for a spot. Because back then, you had a regular host back then. It was David Pride, who's amazing. And he was...
Shut up.
He was the regular host back then. And he was the first one I saw, and I was like, I was just sitting my little notepad.
Man.
Just sitting with my little notepad, just thinking, and just watching at the end of the show. I wouldn't talk to anybody, I'd just go out until
2011, I was there every weekend.
Every week.
In the back, take a pint of beer and just
watch.
Visualize.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be there, you know? And I'm a pro in French.
Yeah.
But I will never think
that you would be able to do it.
Impossible.
Yeah.
It's another world.
Well,
no matter if I translate my joke, doesn't
count. I was so... traumatized. I'm there, but I'm still looking up at the bright lights. And I was like, I can never... What am I thinking?
So the first time you went there, it was David Pride
hosting?
An open mic?
It was the Monday night. The Monday night, yeah.
So
he was
the
regular host at that point.
How long you went there?
Been 2 or 3 months.
Wow.
Even longer before.
Ooh, so
I actually had even the courage to talk to anybody. I would just go there alone and just like sit by myself. I maybe had a notepad and I would just like sit and just look and I'd just be mesmerized. I was like,
oh yeah,
this is fun. Like,
I miss this club, man. Do you miss this club?
I miss this club so much. Like, I felt so comfortable there.
There was
something
about it. It's a great club, man.
It's an amazing club. So intimate, so nice.
So when did you jump?
I think a few months into it.
Okay.
I dressed up really nice and I invited a couple of my family members.
No, what a mistake.
I know.
A mistake
I know, like,
we made all the time, man.
And they came, not my mom and dad.
Okay,
like,
okay.
A couple of close friends and my couple of
so,
close
no, so
like
you call?
Yeah.
They call you back?
They call me back.
Remember the date?
I can't remember the
remember
date.
Remember the date? No, you don't remember? It was winter?
No, back
summer.
Then.
Summer?
This was before social media or anything. Looking back, I do regret it because I should have noted it down. I should have filmed it somehow.
Yeah, but you remember it was cold outside?
It was cold outside,
okay,
yeah. So it must have been winter time.
Okay.
And I went on stage and they said, you have 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Yes.
As you usually do when you have an open mic.
Where you are in the lineup?
I think I'm in the middle.
Middle, so it's a good spot?
Yeah, good
is
spot.
Is it David Pride host?
I think, it had to have been David.
It's not Mike Patterson, Massimo, no?
No, it would have been
okay,
David
Pride. So the first bomb?
Yeah. No, first bomb, I don't even think I had time to bomb because I barely did 2 minutes. I thought I prepared for a month. I was like, I have 5 minutes here. And I went through it in my head. I was like, but you know when you get up there and you see the lights and you see the people staring at you? And you're like, forget everything.
Yeah.
I forget. I had my notepad too and I still forgot.
So you went on stage, took the mic.
2 minutes of bombing.
So you did not do five.
No, two.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So like my sex life.
Yeah, exactly mine. Yeah. So you, what did you say? Okay.
All right, that's it.
And I, no.
And I walked off stage.
Where did you go?
I think I went to the bathroom when I threw up or something like.
Really?
Yeah, I was nervous.
Listen, guy, no BS with SB. This is gold.
Yeah.
So you went out of the stage,
yeah.
Go to the bathroom, and you know how it's not large, the bathroom there?
No.
So you're lucky nobody was there. Because if somebody pissed, you screw, yeah. Man. So you vomit, like, man.
I think I threw up, yeah. Wow. I definitely did, I remember.
Wow, man. And Thank you, man. It's so generous.
And it's so hard, honest, you know, man. Because when it's on, because it was my first time performing,
yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
I didn't know who I was, like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
Because you think you'll do well, right? The moment before you go up and went, but when they announce your name and you turn, you turn.
The minute you walk to this side?
Yeah.
I always walk the other side.
No,
where's the
right side?
Chimney, no?
And I'm fine walking up. I was like, I'm gonna kill. But the minute you turn and you face the crowd and you see the lights, you're like, what the fuck did I just do? What am I doing here?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You never go inside after because your ego is so strong.
Yeah.
So you vomit and you go home?
Yeah, I vomit, went home, finished the rest of the show.
Oh, you stayed there?
I stayed, yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I had to stay because my lift was staying. I was like, so bad.
JC said the same thing.
Yeah. My lift was there. And
JC
was like,
LaFontaine,
oh,
you know JC LaFontaine?
Yeah,
she said the same thing, like, I can't go anywhere, I have to wait my lift.
Found myself a dark corner.
And then you bring people.
Yeah.
How many people you bring?
I think like four, two friends. So
what they said to you, they said
they gave me encouragement. Obviously, what are they supposed to say? They said like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not for you, but you tried.
To be honest, I wish they had told me like, yeah, you suck. You should quit.
So why after that? You know that you're not good. I'm sarcastic because comedy, it's fail.
Yeah.
It's struggle
and
to succeed.
Yeah.
If you, but I know that, but at the time, you don't know that.
Well,
you don't know
why
you came back.
I was naive. I thought I could do better. You're thinking because when
you
was like, I'm better.
So you surpass your ego.
Yes.
Because
you pretend. Yeah,
you know?
If I did bad. Because you have to kind of like pretend sometimes. You have to like.
You need
You have to convince yourself that.
But
you
at the same time,
you need that.
Yeah, you need the naivety too.
Yeah, you need that.
To go on stage and pretend you're funny.
You need that blind confidence.
And you say, fuck, I'm not.
Yeah, you need that blind confidence to get over that. You say, like, I'm better than that.
Yeah.
And I like,
so, but
I did bad. Like, obviously, I did bad.
I know,
horrible.
But that.
But then I caught the bug and I was like, holy shit, I love this.
Yeah, exactly my point. You vomit, you suffer, your ego, but you still find something good in that.
Yes.
And you know what it is? Life. In general, you finish to understand everything, you know, like, okay, your first sweet, your first drink, first driving car, first sex. After that, it's the routine.
Yeah.
And the job, the family, the kids, I'm going to buy a dog, a house, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And inconsciently, comedy is the reverse of
it's
that.
It's the reverse,
it's
yeah.
always make you... weak, because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
so it's fun. Me, I'm not a guy of 9 to 5 in the office.
Well, that's what I. Me either.
You know, and with the neons,
I was always scared of that, and that's why I think I pushed myself so hard in comedy. I was scared of the 9 to 5 with the kids and the yellow
and now the wedding.
I know. See, things are different now, but like I don't have any kids still. But I always hated like
it's the next step, buddy.
The white picket fence and the minivan and the 9 to 5.
Oh my god!
The 2.5. I was like 2.5 kids. I'm like, oh my god, that was the worst. Because when I was watching comedy, even not doing it now, it's like we're the ones who entertain those people.
Yes.
Because they want to come out and laugh.
Yes.
Because their lives must be so maybe stressful.
Sad,
stressful.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Yeah.
Dealing with their kids all day, dealing with a horrible boss. All they want to do is come out on the weekend.
Exactly.
And laugh. So I respect that so much.
It's why me, I don't do politic, religion, joke. Because some people do it. Me, I prefer to people like have a good time. They don't think about I don't want to put something inside. I don't want to. You know what I mean?
I like to make them think, but you know, some people are there just to have a good time, just to laugh, just to get a laugh, because you don't know how stressful their week's been. Oh, right? Like, I always go look at the crowd and be like,
and the bad decision they made, they know that.
Yeah.
When you take age and you realize you did not believe in yourself, you listen everybody but not yourself, and now you're screwed. You know what I mean? So they need to laugh.
They need to laugh.
They need us.
Some of them are just content and they're like, maybe they don't like their lives. Some of them love their lives. Yeah. They had a stressful week, a month, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's our job
to
make them laugh.
Yeah.
But like, and they think our job, a lot of them think our job is easy or easier than their job.
Fuck.
But art, I'm telling you, for me, maybe I'm biased. Obviously I'm biased because I'm a comic, but I think comedy is probably the purest art form there is.
The last one, after strippers.
After strippers, that's it.
Yes.
That's it, yes. It's the purest art form there is, because if you look at a musician or painter, like a musician, they can... If they start a song, they can stop.
And then they can learn the song.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can, and if they're doing a live show, they can stop the song in the middle, start over again.
Yeah, they don't need the approval of the crowd.
No, we can't stop a fucking joke in the middle of the joke and say, "Hey, let me start over."
Exactly, yeah.
It lives in the moment. A joke lives in the moment. And it dies in the moment too.
Yeah.
It's just that one moment.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't
work, why we love
that. Lose it. Yeah, that's why I love
it. We never know where we're going to work.
Yeah.
We never know how the mic is going to work, the light, the stage, the crowd, if we're going to get paid, if they have a green room.
You know what?
Man, we love that.
You know what? Not surprised, but I just...
Why we love that?
I don't know. It's just, I think it's because of the...
Is it because you have a good life?
Spontaneity.
You have a good...
It's the spontaneity. It's spontaneous.
Spontaneous. We love
because
that.
Because you ever tried a joke where, like, the early show and the late show, you did the exact same joke.
And it doesn't work.
And then at the late night,
exact
same joke and kills, man. So it's different. Like, it has a vibe. It has an energy.
Yeah.
You can feel a certain energy.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting to the point where, like, I can read a crowd and their energy and I say, okay, I should do this joke.
Yeah.
I should do that joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you feel their energy and it's like, okay, I'll leave
out never
this
joke,
joke.
Yeah, yeah. I never do the same 45 minutes. Never.
No, I never
always
do it. I always feel the audience out and, like, that's why having a good host. That's their job, is just to feel that energy. And like, so as the headliner or as the person who middles was one of the comics, you know, like, holy shit, okay, this crowd probably wouldn't like this type of material.
Yeah.
This crowd would love this type of material. So getting to the point now, before I didn't even know that existed. I didn't have the experience to realize, holy shit, maybe I should do this. I did the same jokes that I planned to do. But now reading the crowd, you come to a point where you have enough material and you want to try this out, you want to try that out to different crowds.
So what, after vomit, when is...
I love you. It's like, so after I'm going so deep with you. And it's like, so after vomit, what did the...
Because this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Man.
You decide to continue after vomit.
Yes. I loved it. Like,
think about that.
I know, but...
So when was the next show after that?
I think it was... back in those days, you only had... The Comedy Works, because we didn't have like an independent comedy scene.
No, okay.
It was only the Comedy Works or the Comedy Nest.
Okay.
So, and you know, you had so many comics competing. So I think the next time I did it after that first time was probably 3 weeks to a month after.
Okay, at the Works.
At the Works, yeah.
But how did you see it's Rocky 2?
Yeah, I saw. Well, I came in there for a fight, man. And I did 5 minutes.
Exactly my point. Why I restarted at vomit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I want to know. How did you take seriously now the second show, you know?
I took it way more seriously, and I was like, I drew from that one experience. It wasn't just one experience, but I realized, holy shit.
It's the experience forever, huh?
Exactly.
Do you thank this Chris at the time? The Chris?
Yeah.
Who suffered for you?
Oh, that Chris Dahlgren.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This guy, you know, he did the
that guy was different, so much different than this guy.
Maybe. But because of him,
you're
still here.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Because we often be ashamed or but we don't, because this guy gives you the opportunity to be there now in your career.
Yeah,
very good, very able to,
yeah.
You know, because like you said, you know, Everybody think it's easy until you do it. And so the next, yeah. So you arrive at the. Do you remember who hosts the second show?
I think it was still David Pryor. Okay, I think. Because he was the regular host back then.
So you arrive there, confident now? Are you very scared?
I'm still scared. It's only my second time.
Did you reserve the bathroom?
No, I didn't reserve the bathroom. But I didn't throw up.
Come back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's me.
And it went well. Not that it was. No, it was amazing. No, I did 5 minutes.
It's about you and not for the crowd. So
exactly. I think your first time when. Someone told me, look, your first time, like, if you get laughs, that's just the bonus.
If you stay more than two minutes,
yeah, it's just the bonus. Good. Yeah, exactly.
So you remember...
First time should be getting off.
So you remember the 5 minutes?
I can't remember. There was old material back then. I wish.
No, you remember your 5 minutes, like, on stage?
Yeah, I remember.
Remember the lights?
The lights.
Wow, you saw the lights and you said, I made it.
Yeah, it's the lights. Because when you first go up on stage, right, now we're used to it, our eyes adjust.
Yeah.
Now, but the first time you do it, it's just like blinding.
Yeah, because you have the white.
Yeah, you're blinding.
You have the stress,
like,
white,
you know. Yeah. And it's the first time you're in front of people, like, and you have to make them laugh. That's a powerful thing. Yeah. That is such a powerful
thing. The rush.
Yeah, that's the rush.
That's
just like you're in control, right? And it's the one moment where everyone's just looking at you. You have so many people and you're the only one talking.
Yeah.
That's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful thing, but
and it's not a
you have to bring it.
And it's not a power like it's a power to get together.
Yeah, exactly. It's
because
like
you have the power, but they have the power too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
and
a
so when the power is the crowd, in symbiosis, man.
Yeah. There's nothing when you're in like, and you have those moments. There's absolutely nothing where. You have an audience in the palm, like you know when you have them, and you're like riding that wave.
Not in a good sense. Eh? Yeah. Complicity.
Yeah.
This doesn't arrive often.
No.
It's you know so I know by experience because I play every night, and when you said you're on the wave.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I can't explain it. I know comics, they understand exactly what I'm talking about, but if you've never done comedy, you probably won't know what that feels like.
No, exactly. What comparison? Sometimes you're so in shape in life, you know?
Yeah.
Everything you said, it's funny. At the job, you anticipate, you know? And sometimes you're late of 2 seconds and you make mistake, you know? But us, the tough job it's of us. It's you have to be on shape in your head
all the time
because we're gonna see it.
You always have to be on because even living your daily life, you're always trying to like get material.
Exactly.
It's like, is that situation funny? Is that funny?
So it's why you stopped smoking weed before and
and I used to be when I smoked weed before a show. Like I got more creative. I don't know. Like I got it makes you creative.
On weed?
Yeah, it does make you.
Do you think? Yeah, but do you think the day after it's still?
No,
good?
But that's the thing. I wanted to challenge myself and be like, oh, you know what? Like, maybe using it as a crutch. Maybe if I can just do it myself instead of relying on like anything.
Yeah.
And then I stopped. And I rarely like I never smoke weed before going.
Do you smoke weed in life?
Not rarely.
Anymore. You don't have fun anymore. It's
not
legal.
Me. I know, but
it's
I still
weird.
Don't
have fun.
Yeah.
I don't smoke weed anymore. Yeah. It's legal.
I
wrote a number about that. Did you see my number?
No,
that?
I have to look at it.
I explained why I stopped smoking weed. It's the recuperation. Not the recuperation. If I smoke weed, the day after I'm gonna be dizzy.
Yeah. Okay. So it takes you a while.
I work every night. You know, on stage, and the alcohol is worse for me.
I think
take
a lot too, just because of the nerves, and like I stop, I don't drink as much or smoke as much weed now, and I'm good. Also too, you can't be doing that shit when you start getting older, you know.
Exactly.
It takes you a longer time to recover. You're absolutely right.
And I realized something when I drink beer, I'm less shy on stage.
Yeah.
But I'm less sharp. Scare.
Yeah.
Because I need a little bit of scare, you know, like, and when I drink, I don't care, man, if you
exactly.
laugh, and it's not good.
You need that bit of fear.
A little bit of, you know, like, I'm funny, guys, listen to me, you know, and anyway, it's a job, so more you drink, more you, exactly. more it's difficult, you know, to recuperer. How we say
recover.
Recover, yeah, exactly. Recover. So you don't drink, you don't smoke. Do you do exercise? Do you have?
Yeah, I actually started going back to the gym recently. I went and I took a break, and yes. I'm back now.
Me, I subscribed. It's hard. I subscribed.
It's hard, yeah.
I just wait to go.
Me too. I think I might go tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might go.
So.
The wife is gonna kill me if I do.
So, what is your ultimate goal in comedy? Would you like to pay your rent full time?
I would love to pay my rent full-time with comedy. I would like to travel doing it, but I've come to a point where I'm happy where I am, and as long as I can make money and make a decent living, I don't have to be super rich or famous.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you look at all the comics, and I used to be like, oh man, I envy that person.
Yeah.
I don't anymore.
Yeah,
I don't. Me too. I'm happy within myself.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing I've learned is like,
yeah.
you have to make yourself happy.
Yeah.
With what you have.
Yes.
And I have a beautiful wife, I have a beautiful life.
Yeah. You're LT, man. You live in the best country in the world.
And I love it. So, I'm very happy with where I am.
Best city too. Yeah. You like Montreal?
I love Montreal. You know? I don't think I'll ever want to leave Montreal.
Exactly.
And I know, like when I was younger, I was always considered maybe going to Toronto, New York.
Yeah, I did it. I did New York, Toronto, LA, and it's not better.
I'm very happy here.
Yeah.
And I'm happy within my limits and what I can do. And maybe one day, things will, you know, get known. But until then, I'm still happy. And that was the one thing. I know a lot of people are not happy.
With their
comedy
anything
careers
they have.
And it's the one thing I can say. Just
I know. Me too. I was like that, man. I was like, when I'm gonna have this, I'm gonna be happy.
Yeah.
And when I got it, I was not happy.
No,
I said,
necessarily. So, you know, you think you'd be happy,
but
if you get to this point, but then when you get there, it comes with all new challenges.
Yeah. But but exactly. So how you challenge yourself, because nobody called you, hey, it's time to wrote another 20 minutes, or
no,
do you push
challenge.
Yourself?
I push myself.
So how you push yourself? Like, do you?
You have to push
do you work
yourself.
More in French than in English?
No, I work more in English now.
Okay.
But
why you decide to go back in English?
Well, it's my first language too, so
yeah.
I'm more comfortable with the nuances.
Yeah.
But I want to go back doing more French as well, because just to, you know, it's not. Comedy should be about making yourself uncomfortable. You know, when you're too comfortable, then you have to switch it up.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to French and make myself uncomfortable again.
Yes.
Because you have to do that.
Yeah.
Comedy is about making yourself uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're
and the way I push myself is to make myself uncomfortable.
This is good what you said. Wow. Because now I'm uncomfortable in French, me.
You're uncomfortable?
In French now. Because I work so
hard in English, right?
Yeah, to be better in English. Yeah. And the challenge is not fun for me in French, because it's my first language, like you said, and I did, you know, all the goal I have in French, I made it.
You did it.
So it's like to play a video game.
Yeah.
Again.
Starting over.
Why?
You know
what I mean?
You have to find some way to make yourself hungry, because the minute you...
I know.
The minute you become...
But I'm honest, you know?
You become complacent.
Yeah.
And complacency is the death of comedy,
yeah.
I think. So you have to make it, and I challenge myself for that, and I try coming up with new jokes within myself. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be this.
Do you write every day? Is your style?
My style, honestly, I used to be write word for word in a big notepad, and I used to just...
Ah, me too, I'm old school, yeah, I love that.
I'm still old school. I can't do it on the computer or the phone or anything.
No.
It's just more personal for me with a piece of paper and a pen. And I carry around a notepad, or like... Now I just take notes. Like, if a situation comes up, I write one line.
Yeah.
It could be on my phone, on the line, like I write one line or an idea. Then I go home and I write and I hash it out. And I try to write about, I try to write every day. It's not always the case, because, you know, like sometimes you just don't have it.
Yeah.
But I always tell people, like, even if you don't write anything, the act of just sitting there, the act of just sitting and thinking about something or thinking about comedy,
mm-hmm.
that's enough, because eventually you'll want to do it every day, and then eventually you want to pick up a pen and paper and just start writing. So you just do it. You have to do it. Just, you don't have to write anything for the first week or so. I would say you have to just think. Just sit there and think, and then eventually you'll want to write something down, and then eventually you'll want to write something down again, and more and more and more.
Yeah, yeah. So do you do the same thing with the stage time?
like over and over again.
Like, what how many show every week you push yourself?
I tried to do four or five, but it now always works out because now with the wife and I have my job.
So the wife take your stage time?
No, she never takes my stage. She actually encourages me now, but I still have my priorities.
So
and
you
I still
let's say a little bit lazy because you are
yeah, yet? Right, yeah.
No, because
no, not lazy.
No, are you McLean Pub Sunday night?
Oh God, no, not the open mics anymore. God, no.
No, why?
I don't. If I have
let's
a
talk.
New
let,
joke,
eh, let, if let's I talk about joke, bullshit, man.
If I have a new joke,
because yeah,
I'll do it.
Yeah,
but I'll do it. Try to do it on like a show like Peroni's here or something.
So open mic, it's not for you anymore. What do you mean?
No, I still do open mics, but I pick and choose which ones I want to.
So McLean's is not for you.
But when I go to McLean's and I see there are two people in the crowd,
yes, it's not about the crowd. It's about the muscle, you know.
I understand. You still do McLean's every day?
Yeah.
You still do it every week?
Yeah.
How do you find it?
I bomb.
You bomb?
And I learn every time. You know what I mean? Because no matter what you think about what you think now, let's figure it out if it's not the ego who talk and not you.
It could be.
You know
it
what
could
I mean?
Be right. Yeah, come,
it's the
come
ego, man. Because you're too hot to go there. I know. And you said two person. Two person is great.
Two people are great.
It's amazing, two person. Because the problem is it's... you said we learn every time, no matter what.
What time does it start, that place?
9.
Oh, it starts at 9.
Yeah.
Okay. And so on Sundays, right?
Well, Sunday, every Sunday, 9, yeah. And because talking... no matter where you think you are, it's why Dave Chappelle still go in the shitty place like that. And by doing 1 hour, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you have to do that. Yeah.
Exactly my point. Like, you don't go there if you don't want to try joke.
Yeah.
But you can try the muscle of talking in front of nobody and pretend it's a big hit and just let the words out of your new
this
joke.
Is a good practice.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
And me,
you're
I'm right. In French. So me, I have no choice. It's not my first language in English. So if I stay home and said, I'm going to do this joke in a good place, I'm gonna bomb. Because the muscle, because it's not because you have a funny joke, it's gonna work. Because the way you said the joke, if you assume the joke, you know what I mean?
That's the way you say it, and you just wanna practice it.
Exactly. Practice, it's not just the joke, it's the muscle on stage.
Cadence,
the way, the way to survive in a shitty night, you know? Because a lot of comics said, why you still do this shitty place? I said, because this shitty place make me stronger and incorporate when nobody listen, and now I have a big amount of money, I can choke.
Well, no, that's what I say about Ruffies all the time. I used to for 2 years,
I'm there every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. For 2 years. I was there every single Tuesday.
Exactly.
But a place like that makes you strong.
Yes.
It makes you strong because nobody's listening.
Yes.
Maybe half the, half the bar, but it's not about that. It's it's about making you strong. Like
kill your ego.
Emotion. Yeah. Yeah, you have no ego when you walk off that stage.
Oh, bueno. And after that, you realize that you start to saw something else than people judging you like you suck. You start to say, I don't care about what the people think.
That's what the place like Grumpy's made me. That's how I evolved at Grumpy's.
Yes.
It's like, but no, it's not about them. It's like
it's about me.
It's about me. At a
at
place
the end.
Like that specifically, it's about me. And just being able to rise above that challenge of
I don't care about the comedian saw me bombing.
No,
because in 6 months they're gonna say, "Hey, you funny number." I say, "Yeah, but remember when you saw me bombing?
Yeah.
Look at that now. You know, it's a muscle, man.
Yeah.
Nobody writes a 15 killer like that if you stay home. You know,
no.
And because the condition, people say." You don't like to play? Why you don't play at the Nest in front of a good crowd? It's because I'm banned at the Nest. So I, can, you know, but it's not my it's not I don't want it. But the good condition in English in Montreal are rare.
Yeah.
But when I arrive at the Peroni, in a good condition.
Yeah.
I kill.
Yeah.
If I do the wiggle room with Paul Ash, did you do that?
Yeah, I've done
it's
it.
It's always jam packed.
It's amazing, yeah.
You know, you know, Rosewood. Rosewood together, man.
Killer.
You know what I mean?
It's killer, yeah.
So it's this is my... you're a pro.
Yeah.
I don't need to convince you. I saw in your face when you were like, "That fuck is right." See, McLean, eh? What time is it? I remember. I can show you if you want to see your eyes.
I saw
the pain.
Yeah.
I saw the pain because you told me you're comfortable now.
Yeah.
You know who you are. Your ego said you're here.
Yeah.
We don't go there. I know that. Every time I go and McLean pops and I go up, my ego said, "Get the fuck out." I said, "Shut up, man." The reason why I go there is because if you saw all my joke now, I create my joke there.
There.
The idea, the first, you know, essence.
First,
you have to start somewhere.
You do have to start somewhere.
I prefer to bomb at the McLean front of two people than here.
No, you can't bomb.
Yeah. Exactly. You know?
Also, too, do you ever try out new jokes here?
Never.
Never?
I don't. No. If I have a possibility, you know, I'm gonna do it, but it will not be a 5 minute bit. Like, it's gonna
No. I've done new jokes here, but just like little jokes where I put it in between.
Yeah.
But now with the experience I have, even if it's a new joke, I still know how to.
No, exactly, and it's dangerous to do that.
Right.
Yeah, and one time I have I talk about my first job. And the guy beside me did not understand why. I said, "Where are you from?" He said, I'm from the state. And he work at the border.
Yeah.
And I have a number about the border. And I switch. And I was not ready to do this because it was not the type. But the opportunity was there.
And it
laughed so hard, you know, because it was luck.
Yeah.
But in general, no. Maybe if I have a version of five time,
right.
I'm gonna put between two hit.
But that's what you have to do. You can't just do a new joke.
No, exactly. But newer idea.
Yeah.
I will not doing here.
No.
I want to do tech, 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 ciao.
Bye bye.
Okay. But you know, so but I think it's gonna be good for your ego to see because I never saw you, man.
At McLean's?
McLean's, Mickey Ben's, Grumpy's, Grenouille, I saw you at the Grenouille.
Grenouille,
it's like a middle of mix of here and open mic because sometimes it's 20 people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a great condition.
But like Grumpy's and McLean's, they're
Mickey Ben's is not easy.
It's not, but that's what you need rooms like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You need rooms like that. Mm-hmm. I understand.
You know,
and I'll try and come back and do some of that.
No, man. Listen, I don't want to force you, but you can play every night in Montreal.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah, but it's shitty room. Hey, go to New York, then compare. You're going to say, it's the same thing.
Yeah
it's the same thing now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You know, no, it's not true you have good condition in New York or LA. No. You know, good luck to play at the Comedy Store in LA.
Yeah,
you're gonna get bumped 15 times. You will never play.
You'd never.
I said, "How's the lineup?" Good luck. It's new. You know what I mean?
It's never gonna happen.
So you're gonna play at the Hooters bar front of chair, empty chair. I did it. You know, because it's the reality. The reality of stage time.
That's
everywhere in the world. It's done.
You're never gonna have full crowds every night, every single show, of course. So you gotta deal with what you have. I understand.
And I know. Wait, well, are you alright?
Yeah.
And I know you. It could be good for the young comic to see you, and have tip from you. You know. Because the problem is, if it was in New York, you will come at the McLean, New York. Because maybe you're gonna meet Bill Burr, Louis C.K., but because we don't have a big star system here, you know, you think it's not good to go there anymore because you're here.
Right.
You know what I mean? But in New York, everybody respect Bill Burr bombing in a shitty McLean. You understand? You know what I mean? This guy could stop to go there, and they continue to go there. Because it's you know what I mean when I say bombing?
Yeah.
It's the way to
succeed. That's the way to you have to do it. Yeah. There's no other way.
Exactly.
To go about it.
The old school.
Yeah.
This is a real comic.
Yeah.
You know? But I know I have the same discussion with GC Surette, like sometimes you want just the good quality, you know, you're tired because
no, well, that's
it's,
it. Yeah,
it's you know, it's fun to be comfortable, like you said.
But no, you have to.
But if you want to rewrite new stuff, you have to go there. You know what I mean?
You have to do it. Yeah.
But I don't want to push. I don't want to force you. I don't say
no. But you're right, though.
You know what? I just want to. I realize, like, you're in a wedding situation. You know, very comfortable. Did you get a lot of gifts? A lot of gifts.
I got it.
Are you
gifts,
the tobacco crowd? What is the nationality you are?
Trinidadian.
Are they generous in the wedding?
Yeah, they were very generous.
France?
Yeah.
You're lucky it was not a French Canadian, eh?
Imagine.
Because you're going to receive 1,000 toasters, tabarnak, you know?
You think so?
Oh, yeah, we are so cheap, man. Nobody will pay, gonna eat everything and get out.
Now I know I'm getting you if you ever get married, then.
Huh?
Now I know what I'm getting you if you ever get married.
Yeah, yeah.
A fucking toaster. That's exactly what I'm getting you.
And no four trench. You know?
Yeah.
Two limit. Yeah. And they're going to say, if you don't need it anymore, like, call me. I'm going
to. So you just have to give it back to them after.
Yeah. Okay. It's French Canadian. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Very cheap. And so you just finished the wedding, you know, comfortable.
A lot of
love.
You know what it feels like? Like, now we're in September, because we are filming this in September.
Yeah,
it feels like back to school. So it's like back to the grind now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so are you telling me I'm going to see you often?
Yeah. Now you're going to see me a lot more often. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Because when I first, before I even got married, I started a new job too.
Okay.
And I was working at nights.
Oh, yeah. This is tough.
It's
now going to be a day job?
Now I have it. Now my shift is daytime.
Okay.
No more excuses.
No, you're screwed to tell me that.
Yeah.
Because every time I'm going to say, where is it?
Yeah.
No excuse bonding.
Yeah. You have to come out and start doing it.
Trust me.
But you need to do it. You're absolutely right.
I will never have said that if I was not there first.
Yeah.
You know, this is the reason.
But there's no way around it, right? There's no, you have to, that's what's in place. There's no magic system in place where you can go around that. But I think every comic, they have to go through something like that to get better.
Yeah.
You have to experience it.
Me, I was so scared when I came back from LA.
Yeah.
I work hard and I succeed and I say yes. So when I came back to Montreal and I go at the Grand Prix, I was shitting in my pants.
Really?
Yes. Because I was like fighting with my ego, you know. You just headline in the state. Look. Can you stay home and enjoy us? No, it's done. Now I have to rewrite this.
You have to go back.
So I said, why here? It's because it's the only way. And I bombed and I walked back home and I said, tabarnak, why I'm doing this job? It never ends, you know? You know what I mean? It's so complicated, you know? When I moved to Toronto, my first show, I in a shitty bar, I cried, man, in my car.
Really?
Because I said, why do that? Why I push myself in a shitty situation? Because it's the reward, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Never be scared of something. Fight. We fight the scare, you know what I mean? So now, when I bomb at Grand Prix and I get out,
it's bad.
I don't care.
Yeah. It takes a while.
It takes a while, but now my ego shut the fuck. You know what? I go out of the stage and say, and I can look everybody in the eyes.
Yeah.
I said, good luck. It's your turn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's a badge of honor to like go on a stage like Grand Prix and get off, and you know, you survive. You didn't necessarily do well, but
I said, you know what? I said, oh, this first joke was good.
Yeah.
Not the other one.
Yeah.
I said too fast.
Yeah.
And kill at the Grand Prix, it's impossible. I did maybe twice. And this is another reward that they didn't know. When you kill at the Grand Prix,
it feels as if you're
like, because you were very funny, man.
It feels as if
when everybody stopped,
it's worth more than
nothing.
If you kill
club. You know what I mean?
I get it.
I never anticipated. I remember everybody did that to me. Tack, tack. All the comedian, I said, what's happening? I don't know, man. Yeah. I was just like, tack.
It's good especially when you do it there.
Yeah.
Plus, when you get on the stage, it comes to a point where you're like, okay, I may not have killed or I killed, but you know, you get off and like you're still alive.
You balance the ego, you know what I mean? And I go home, I say, oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay. You wake up the next day, you're like,
nobody, exactly.
Yeah. And that's what that place taught me a lot. Like, eventually, like, you used to go home and be like, oh, fuck, I'm never going back there. And then go back. And then eventually you're like, okay, this is not that bad.
But I saw your body language now, like, like, you're like that, like, oh my God, I just said I'm going to go there. Fuck. You made a promise, but let's change subject before you see you. You don't want to talk anymore with me. What do you think about, I saw your beautiful Yankees, your Yankee fans.
Yes.
Is it just a gift or you're a baseball fan?
No, I'm a big baseball fan.
Imagine, do you believe?
Yeah, I believe.
The Expo are back.
Yeah, yeah. I'm believing it. I'm still trying to follow the news. And
yeah, because the people.
What have you heard? What's the latest news you've heard? Because
They're going to build the stadium at the Griffintown.
Near Peel Basin,
Beside the Costco.
Oh, beside the, okay, so I know exactly.
Now I know.
It's more concrete, the plan.
And people think they're going to move back in the stadium. No. They will never go back to the stadium.
Which stadium? The
Olympic Stadium.
No, no, no. You can't have a major league.
It's
going to
be outside, outdoor, small,
maybe 35,000, 40,000.
Exactly.
Seat. But
in which division?
It has to be the NL East. It has to be the
NL East. So which team is? Boston.
Oh, the AL East. You're saying AL East.
Yankees.
Boston Yankees.
Toronto.
Baltimore. So then.
So Tampa don't tell me the Yankees that they will not come every time. See, you know, all that are crazy fan.
That's 18, 19.
So just there, you have a fan base.
9 games a year.
Each 16 each.
Yeah, they play 8.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
so that's a lot for tourism.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And now they want to split the year with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I don't see that as a long term.
No, no, no. Listen.
If they do that, fine for the first couple
of
years.
It's the way to get out.
Back. Yeah. I would love to have them back. There's nothing like watching, like.
What souvenir you have about baseball in Montreal? Do you have souvenir?
Oh, I used to go to when they were still here.
Yeah.
Expos. I used to go to at least 40 home games a year.
40?
At least 40, because remember, they had the Molson X section. Back then,
I think they throw the ticket in your face.
Yeah, they just threw it like, it was $6. $6 to get in. But the stadium was so empty, you'd easily be able just to move down to the $60, $80 seats. Like,
exactly.
Because
no
one was there.
Yeah, so we go
so
down.
You buy the $6 tickets and then you go down because nobody
exactly.
was there.
Exactly.
And I used to go to.
I have souvenir of.
Me too. The chair. Remember the plastic chairs?
The plastic chair, but the sheet trumpet.
Oh my God.
In an empty crowd.
Oh my God.
So painful.
Oh man, this was when Vladdy was in his prime too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Pedro.
Yeah, Pedro.
Oh man, we have the team, man. We love. They stole us our World Series. You know that?
Oh yeah, 1994. Yeah, wow. That was actually the first year I started getting seriously following baseball too.
Wow,
and I thought the Expos were gonna like. I was a Yankee fan before that, but I like it's my Montreal still my hometown.
I love
the Expos. If they came back, I'd be so torn.
Yeah.
But do you think they'll come back?
I think I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
I would love to go see like
so many facts. You know?
A ball game like at a
so
new
many
stadium.
Facts, yeah.
I think we for this weather we have here in Montreal, though, it might need to be retractable the roof.
But yeah, I don't know where they want to go there, but they keep secret of stuff. You know what I mean? But I believe it, and it's gonna in 5 years we're gonna have something.
I think so too,
because when they say something on TV. It's because it's already done.
Yeah.
They don't work like us. Like, I have a one-man show 30 December, but I'm not sold out.
Yeah.
I still have my ticket.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
No,
they already...
They have the land.
They already...
I don't know if construction started already, but they have the land. So, I hope
and they have a big head.
Yeah. Plus, I think it's probably one of the nicest logos in sports.
Man,
it's like so beautiful. I don't know. There's something about
you pee. I'm gonna have you pee soon here.
Yeah,
man.
It's one of the nicest logos in sports.
Did everybody laugh about that? And now everybody stole.
Everybody loves this.
No, in the past, everybody laughed. They said it's a clown hat.
No, no.
And now did you see the game? This the national make
they won
Expo
the
game.
Yeah,
and purple, not purple, but blue.
The powder
blue. Man, I have a boner, man.
Just jerking off.
Yes, woo! Yeah. Man, thank you so much. Are you happy, man?
Oh, did you have a good time?
Oh, man. You know when I have a good time? Oh, I saw your one. Or,
yeah,
this is McLean, huh?
Yeah, that's McLean.
When I went to McLean, I said, oh, my God, I found something, man. And this is good, man. This is good.
I'll come down.
You're rusty. I feel it. Yeah, you're rusty,
we'll
man.
We'll do comedy together.
Let's go right away to McLean bombing, man. I love you, man.
Love you, too.
You're a great guy.
You're a wonderful guy. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast.
Okay. And thanks for the wet neck. Painful comedy is. But the reward. Anyway, come back, man. You have so many...
love to come back.
1 hour, 30 minutes. I know. Wow.
How long did you do with JC?
JC did 1:05, I think. 1:15.
Well, that's perfect.